You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with Joe Fusaro, our MLB.com Marlins reporter here in person at the winter meetings in Orlando. And obviously the Marlins have been a big story heading into this winter meetings. They will continue to be, but Giancarlo Stanton heading to the Yankees, we can say it, it's official now. So from a Marlins perspective, just kind of break down. They didn't get the prospect haul you would expect, but they do save the money, obviously. What's the mindset for Miami right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they accomplished their biggest offseason goals. I mean, they moved in the last 72 hours. D. Gordon's $38 million, and, of course, Stanton is $295 million. And that kind of puts them, you know, in better position for some payroll flexibility. You know, their mindset was, as unpopular as this is, and understandably so, because make it clear, Giancarlo Stanton's numbers, and based on WAR and productivity, Marlins all-time home run leader, 267. He just comes off being the MVP. No Marlin player, in my opinion, has ever had a single season like this. So clearly not the move you're hoping to make, but in the position they are in, where they're not a player or two away, they're not a pitcher or two away, they don't have the organizational depth, they are not in position to, you know, seriously compete while taking on his $295 million and $25 million next year. Giancarlo made it clear he does not want to be part of a rebuild. I know Derek Jeter doesn't like to use that word, but, you know, they're building something. Stanton's ready to be a superstar in the league's standpoint, go to the postseason. So the fit comes to New York Yankees. Obviously, you mentioned the return. It's not the ideal return, but he was dealing with a limited market with veto power from the player. So they did go, when you think about it, they went to the organization that probably made the most sense on a number of levels. For one, the Yankees have the resources to take on $295 million and $25 this year. Two, the Yankees farm system, their top 30, I think Jim Callis said like 22 of them would like be in the Marlins top 30. So you're looking at a prospect haul that, even though it isn't their number one prospect, you know, in Guzman, they're getting a pitcher with those 103, apparently an easy 103, throws strikes, he's young, he kind of fits the growth plan. You know, they get Starlin Castro to kind of replace D. Gordon or be in position to flip him, you know, to another club, which I wouldn't be shocked if they do either. Because you're going to need somebody to play this season at second base. His $7 million a year and what, 22, 23 over the 2 years, a lot more affordable than D. Gordon, 29 years old, as great as D is, 29-year-old speed guy, who you always have the risk of decline with speed. So they clear that out. Now it's curious, because now what is going to be the plan? We're going to start seeing the Marlins kind of, and Derek Jeter and Gary Dembo, who comes over from the Yankees. I think 8 of 9 Yankee farm systems went to the playoffs last year. Obviously, we know who the Rookie of the Year was in the American League, and Gary Sanchez and Severino and so on down the line. Gary Dembo is credited for the helping in the development of all those players. It's going to be exciting from a building standpoint for the Marlins, how they do it. We know they're spinning their wheels. I know the fan base is angry, and understandably so, because here we go again mentality. But is it a here we go again? Because now, if they build it right, and in a few years get better revenue streams via TV, naming rights, and so forth, they now can institute the Derek Jeter plan, which I anticipate being very disciplined. You know, very organizationally conscious, play a certain way, look for a certain type player. And with Stanton, as sad as it is to see that player leave, you now are in position to allocate resources elsewhere.
They get two prospects other than Castro. Jose Devers, who's actually Rafael Devers' cousin,
correct,
not thought of in the same way as the Red Sox slugging third baseman. And then Jorge Guzman, who's a little more interesting. You mentioned how deep that Yankee system is, and Guzman was number 9 in the Yankee system. And I was talking to Jim Callis. He'll be number 3 in the Marlins system. It just shows you how much talent the Yankees have.
Yeah.
So suddenly you got a guy who's a little bit away, but he can hit triple digits, and I guess on the high end, this is a guy who could be a 1 or 2 starter.
Correct.
And then even if that doesn't work, maybe a closer.
Yes, and I talked to one of my friends who's in the Yankee system last night, and he said they envisioned and projected Guzman as a starter, which I was encouraged to hear, because you kind of hear that. Now, the Marlins could have got caught in a trap, too. Where a year ago, when they moved Luis Castillo for Dan Straley, there are a lot of people in the organization that's wondered if Castillo was anything more than a reliever, if he had enough secondary pitches. clearly Luis Castillo. Now, I'm not going to say clear because you never know, but certainly the signs are there. That's a very promising starting pitcher
right.
for them. So the Marlins seem to get that caliber of guy back in this trade.
So you mentioned maybe flipping Castro. We're already hearing some rumors. Obviously, people speculate about these things. But is that something, if they decide to go that route, is that something that could happen quickly during this week in this winter meeting?
I don't see any rush, you know, unless you get your return. I mean, they're not in that position. I mean, $7 million for a payroll that I know I've seen numbers out there, $90 million, $75 million, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The payroll is not going to be a high payroll. So I don't think the Marlins are that married to, oh, my God, we have to be at 69.9. You know, it doesn't matter. So you can keep Starlin Castro. You know, hey, he could replace Stanton in a lot of it. Now his 16 homers kind of balance out the 59 that's going the other way. No, this is a player that you could team up with JT Riddle, the projected starting shortstop, and you have a middle infield that has, you know, some talent and some big league experience. So clearly Castro does. Riddle was a rookie this past year. Maybe I'm missing the target on this, but he's not my top priority on the trade while I'm here in Lake Buena Vista the next 3 or 4 days. I'm watching on Marcell Ozuna and if they do bite on any Christian Yelich type of deals.
You mentioned they're in a tough spot with Stanton, obviously, with the no trade and everything, and they got the best package they could. Now that that's out of the way, now that they've cleared that salary, you mentioned Ozuna and Yelich and these other guys, are they now in a position to be patient and get the very best prospect package back for those guys to help build that system?
You would hope so. Yeah. I mean, that should be the message. You know, clearly, when you're looking at $295 million and a player as much as I'm as big a Giancarlo fan as there is on the planet, and I believe this guy, if he tracks, will put up Cooperstown-type home run numbers, and I'm hoping he is at that conversation. But this is a player also that had injuries throughout his career. I think only 2 years he played more than 150 games. So you don't move that money, and you're going to carry and give it another shot, and then something, knock on wood, happen, you know, there's something unfortunate. What does that do to your organization?
Right.
So they are in much better situation. Ideally, I think they'd love to keep Marcell Ozuna. He's 2 years from free agency. And I think that they would like to build around a player like Marcell Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna is now would have to buy into a rebuild. And Scott Boras is his agent. So is there any type of opportunity to work a deal out now? Traditionally, the Scott Boras clients do not do that.
Right.
So they may feel his market will never be higher. And if they could go and knock on the door with the Cardinals, let's say, and they talked about some really high-end top 10 pitchers in that system and throw Ozuna there for even more than what Stanton would have commanded, you seriously have to listen to it.
The great thing, I guess, with Ozuna and the teams, you mentioned the Cardinals, hey, who knows, maybe the Giants, is they've already been negotiating for an outfielder with these teams, so maybe you almost, you continue that negotiation. Obviously, it's different than Stanton because the money's not there like it was, but you're in those talks already. You've talked about these players. You've scouted them. It's got to make it easier.
Yeah, and I think the Marlins, the 2017 year was very unique because the ownership cloud hung over them. I mean, they literally came in day one, full squad spring training, before the players even took the field. David Sampson announced the team was for sale publicly. So that cloud was there, and everyone was operating on pins and needles. They didn't really know where they were going. They had a lot going on. But I can tell you this. They are more prepared with more teams at the whatever level of looking at prospects, and it's going to be fascinating to see what Gary Dembo, what he's seeing, because it might be on pipeline, the number 20 guy in pipeline may actually be a top five prospect, not just, a bad Marlins system, but might be a legitimate top five prospect on a really good team if developed right. So that's the kind of the fun part of it, you know, because it is an exact science as much as we like lists. The lists don't always come out exactly as such. So, I mean, I don't think anyone had Luis Castillo in anyone's top 100 two years ago. And everyone was like, oh, who's Luis Castillo? They thought it was the old Mets Marlins second baseman, you know, so just 2-3 years ago. So that's how quickly a guy can rise. So I'm excited from that standpoint, from the Marlins fan standpoint. You just hope that they kind of understand that you're not winning. The Marlins, without question, their core 8 starters can match up with a lot of teams. But this isn't the NBA where you could build around LeBron and two other guys. This is Major League Baseball, and I think the L.A. Dodgers showed it when they could lose Adrian Gonzalez and bring up Cody Bellinger, and that guy just hits 39 homers. You know, the Marlins don't have anything close to that. If it was the only bet that these eight will never get hurt and can play 150, yeah, but that's not the way baseball works, and it's not where we are right now. And they need so many layers of organizational depth, and until they get that, the Marlins fans have to realize they were looking at, you know, kind of a house of cards, as I always kind of said. And so you hope that Jeter has the plan, the vision, eventually the financial resources that when they need a player, they can go get them. But it's going to be a couple of years at minimum.
It's a great point about the fan base and seeing that team, because there's so much, not just a good eight, but there's star power. There was more
no
star
question.
Power.
You had Ichiro coming off your bench.
Yeah, and that has to be frustrating for fans and the whole situation, I guess. There was obviously a frustration with the fan base and the old ownership group. Is it a tricky position to, I guess there's a need right now, right, with the Jeter group to just for transparency, to be honest with the fans, mm-hmm. tell them the plan, keep the plan out there. Because we saw the Astros did that with their fan base. When Lunau came in, he said, listen, this is what we're doing. We're building it from the bottom up. It's going to take some years. Mm-hmm. Hang in there with us. That's what the Marlins
did. Yeah, and I actually spoke last night to Marlins have some new PR people, too, and I said, how do you get this? How do you kind of get in front of this, you know, as best as possible? And he said just that.
Yeah.
Tell the plan. Now, I will say this, and this is where the Marlins got in trouble. And I got along great with Jeffrey Loria, a lot of respect for the man, and he did some really good things in South Florida he doesn't get credit for. But Jeffrey, there's a lot of fan in Jeffrey. And if he sensed he can go for something a little faster than he thought, he would deviate from a plan. So the plan was whatever the plan was that morning. Mm-hmm. There seems to be, from the people I respect in the organization, a discipline to this. And Derek Jeter, we haven't had too much interaction with him yet, but he did note that he's not emotionally driven to make decisions. And he also said everything that we're doing has a reason. We're more curious to hear what he says instead of me saying what I think he's saying, and if they have the discipline to stick to building the right way. As you mentioned, the Astros are the blueprint for the Marlins, because I look at their markets are similar.
Right.
You know, it's not just like, oh, the Dodgers rebuilt. Well, the Dodgers have their billion-dollar TV deal, you know, multi-billion dollars. So it's a completely different dynamic market-wise. So, but I see just a lot of synergy between the Marlins and the Astros.
Obviously, the big picture is to rebuild, get better, get younger, and be a contender down the road. But you also have to play baseball in 2018. So this week and going forward, what are the needs for this roster that they need to fill out? Not trade away, but what do they need to bring in to fill out this roster?
Well, you're going to see, I still think they're going to look for, you know, a shortstop. I think JT Riddle could be a very solid everyday shortstop. He was showing some left-handed power, but he got hurt and he has shoulder surgery, missed over 80 games. Miguel Rojas has been a very good utility guy, can play shortstop. A lot of people thought he resembled Echeverria for, you know, the stretches he was in there. He had surgery on his thumb, and he has a shoulder issue that he's not getting surgery on. But you had two shortstops for most of the year that if they dove up the middle, they may not come off the ground for a few minutes. So I think from an organization standpoint, you have to ask yourself, are we confident there? So shortstop, I think, is going to be addressed. Starting pitching's obvious, but I think they're not looking to say, oh, let's go get Jake Arrieta and he's our number one. They're looking to get guys like Guzman, who will start off in the minor leagues if he reaches the big leagues at some point. But, yeah, they're going to have to get some of those guys that are going to be innings eaters and so forth. I don't think they're going to move Dan Straley. I think there'll be people weighing in, but you can move him at another time. He's just hitting arbitration. He's affordable. You got Jose Urania, who's untouchable right now. He had won 14 games. You know, it came out of nowhere to do that. So they got Dylan Peters. They got some people that could fill out the rotation. But they're going to be looking for pitching. And along the way, I'm curious to see, obviously, let's say Ozuna goes. That's 37 homers and 59 homers have just left your, and both guys topped the previous RBI season record. So you're losing a ton of production. So who's the plan in the outfield? You know, that's going to be interesting to see. Is this team going to be in 18 a bunch of guys that, you know, with big league experience but kind of second tier guys, and your really good guys are in the minors? Or are they going to kind of do some sort of blend? Are they going to get some guys that actually can produce? So Pitching, though. That's going to be an organizational depth. So I think that they're going to be building like this. They're not going to be we're a cherry away from winning the division. So it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a very busy. It's already been busy. I anticipated coming into the winter meetings with the Stanton weight on my shoulders. That came off the books on Saturday morning. So we're going to be busy in a little different way here in Miami.
All right, new era for the Miami Marlins. Joe Fusaro, thanks for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Marlins edition. For Joe, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.